You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and here, back to our normal schedule after an extra episode the other day, with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how's it going?
Good. How you doing, Vince?
Not too bad. Super Bowl was a bit of a bore. Tom Brady won again. You know, nothing really special on that side. Really didn't catch any commercials, but none stood out too much. The Shaggy with the Ashton and Milo was pretty good, but other than that, it was pretty boring Super Bowl overall.
Yeah, there were a few good commercials, like there always are. I've noticed the main theme of every Super Bowl is people saying the commercials aren't as good as usual this year. So it's either that they actually get worse every year, or that maybe we forget that they're usually a little bit underwhelming every year. So I think they were probably about equal to previous years. There were some that were pretty fun. I enjoyed the Will Ferrell electric cars Norway commercial. That was kind of funny. There was a few decent ones. So
yeah, I think the difference now is that some of them come out before the Super Bowl. So like the Cardi B and Wayne's World, I had already seen that one. The one that we saw, the one that Max Muncy was in, that one had already been released. Max Muncy tweeted it, so I think it takes away a little bit from the juice. But
that's probably true. The important thing is football season's over now.
Yeah, it's baseball season. If you weren't already in baseball mode, you can officially get into baseball mode even more. And we're here to talk about nothing else happened after Trevor Bauer signing. But we do have some more Trevor Bauer thoughts. We have Jock Peterson thoughts after he released an article with Players Tribune, basically detailing everything and thanking Los Angeles. So yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcast. When you get in your car, if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. Fortunately, we have a little bit of bad news, not necessarily specifically on the Dodgers front, but on the baseball front. Pedro Gomez, who was a reporter and personality with ESPN, passed away. They announced it on Sunday night. And yeah, I've never had any interaction with him, you know, in person, but he seemed to always have, you know, good angles, good stories, good reporter. One of the more prominent Latino reporters for baseball. So, you know, always a little bit of respect there for him. But yeah, it sucks that he's passed on. There's a lot of good stories going around on Twitter. So if you search around, I'm sure you can find a couple of good ones about Pedro Gomez.
Yeah, if you look and you see how many teams immediately tweeted out their condolences, how many players immediately tweeted out about it, it's clear that he was, you know, baseball person, you know, reporters, they die somewhat regularly. And obviously not as young or unexpectedly as Pedro Gomez, but just seeing the immediate outpouring kind of tells you how well respected he was in the industry. And yeah, I've been in his vicinity a few times, but never, I don't think I ever even had a conversation with him or even said a word to him. But he always had a smile on his face. And like you said, seemed to be really good at his job while also being a really genuinely pleasant person to be around, and somebody who everybody loved. So definitely a sad time for his family and for the baseball world.
Yeah, exactly. I believe he has a son in the Red Sox organization that's a pitcher. So, you know, hopefully he can make it one day and pay that tribute to his dad. Either way, obviously his dad's going to be proud of him. But moving on, Jock Peterson released an article on the Players Tribune with a little video. The video was more so a lot of just home videos of his daughter and his son. later on in the video and just memories of their time in Los Angeles. But the Players Tribune article, in his words, is how the Players Tribune does it. It's called 10 Years, 2 Kids, 1 Ring, and a Whole Lot of Memories. And yeah, Jock pretty much lays it all down for you, which is interesting because Jock has been a man of very few words when it comes to the media. But it seems when he's not being asked questions that he can be pretty open. And Jock basically, you know, details how he got to the point of where he was going to play for the Cubs, how, you know, the Andrew Friedman, and something we've heard before from other people and from him is, and Andrew Friedman's a straight shooter. They basically kind of realized that their time together had come to an end between the Dodgers and Jock Peterson. How he was doing his own personal research on where he's going to go and how close he was or where he was going to go. He ended up picking Chicago. Chicago ended up working out for him. There's a story about him growing or almost going to USC and not going with the Dodgers. Over a difference in money for signing bonus. He ended up taking less money than he originally wanted, but still, you know, couldn't give up. He said he was born to play baseball, not to be in a classroom or something to that extent. And yeah, just details everything about it and, you know, why he ended up with the Cubs, and which we already kind of knew, but he put it out there in his words of he wanted to be an everyday player, not a platoon player. He said he turned down a few more lucrative offers from teams that wanted him to remain in a platoon role, and he wants to show off what he can do. And we talked about this before, but it was kind of expected, and it was just a well put out article.
Yeah, and honestly, it changed the way I think of Jock Peterson in some ways, because, you know, he kind of has this reputation. I think he played up a little bit as just kind of being a dumb guy a little bit, and just kind of not unintelligent, but just fly by the seat of your pants, don't put a lot of thought into things, you know, free and easy kind of type. And obviously we knew that he has a really good relationship with his family. His brother is obviously Champ, is well known, as his brother Tiger. You know, they're a close family. But reading it, and then I was telling my family about it later, and I actually got choked up telling my family about it. I'm a little bit of a crybaby anyway, but what Jock talked about how every night as he's kissing his daughter Poppy goodnight for bed, he tells her, "I love you," and she says, "I love you," and he says, "Dream big," and she says, "Dream big." And when Jock said that basically the reason that he felt like he had to go somewhere where he could be an everyday player, even though it was for less money, was because his dream is to be an everyday player, to be a major league superstar who plays every day. And basically what he said was, how can I look my daughter in the eye every night and tell her to dream big if I'm giving up on that dream and I'm only 28 years old? And he said, I have to try. I might fail, I might succeed, but either way, I have to try or else I won't. Basically saying he can't be as good a dad as he wants to be if he's willing to give up on his dream right now. And I thought that was pretty, pretty poignant, really, and something that you don't necessarily expect poignancy from Jock Peterson, but it really was. And like I said, you know, I like Jock anyway, but I have a really deeper respect for him as a father and as a family man after reading that.
You know, it was just a little bit different side of Jock. Like I said, he's never one to talk too much to the media or in general, so this was a refreshing little way of him to go about it. The one thing that he did note that we've seen other players note is just the Dodger organization and how great they are, how they helped him. They had a private plane for him when he was going back, birth of his daughter the first time around, so he didn't have to miss it. And then he did, you know, the kind of the uncertainty, but he cleared it up a little bit that they did have some complications with their son when he was born this past season, and the Dodgers right away, you know, put him on the paternity list, and he was able to do whatever he needed. So just you know, a glowing reflection of the Dodgers as well as Jock Peterson.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Trevor Bauer, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust when it comes to sports betting, and that's betonline.ag. Right now, if you go to betonline.ag and you want to put some money down, let's say you want to put some money down that the Dodgers are going to win the NL West, we're going to have to put a lot of money down in order to get any kind of money back, just because the Dodgers are such heavy favorites. Right now they're listed as minus 250, which means if you would have to put $100, or you would have to put $250 down in order to win $100. So there, you know, while it's probably a certainty, if you want to make some big money, you have to put some really big money down on the Dodgers. Surprising thing is that the Rockies are the third team in the NL West when it comes to these odds. Padres are obviously second. The Rockies are third at plus 3,300, which means if you put $100 on the Rockies, you'll win 3,300 on top of the 100 that you already put down. The D-backs and Giants are listed at plus 4,000. So if you're feeling a little froggy or think that the Dodgers might trip up, I would say it's a waste of money. But hey, I'm not going to tell you how to do your money, but I will tell you where to go. That's betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. And with your winnings, you can get yourself the best tasting protein bar in the market. That's Built Bar. Built Bar continues to improve, continues to add flavors, continues to just be the best protein bar out there. If you don't believe it, try it. You go to builtbar.com and get you some. They got a bunch of flavors, all covered in chocolate, soft and easy to chew. They're all low calorie, low sugar, low carbs, high protein, high fiber. If you get with cookies and cream one, you get 17 grams of protein on only 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs. There's no way to go about it. Built Bar is the best protein bar out there. And right now you can get 20% off your next order with the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Jeff, we are back. And while we had an episode dedicated to the signing of Trevor Bauer, no real other news came out over the weekend about it. Although he did apologize to Mets fans for the issues on their end and a release of Mets gear and a Mets hat giveaway and some other things that happened on his website. He said it was an issue with the back end that he wasn't on social media that day, so he didn't realize that that was going on. I know there will be some people that don't believe it, but whatever, either way, it doesn't matter. It was to Mets fans, not to Dodger fans. But for Dodger fans, there's still been a lot of split opinions over the weekend. I know Jeff said you took some time and have some thoughts about Trevor Bauer.
I do. And, it's a hard thing to talk about for a lot of reasons. One thing is in today's social media climate and just everything, it's really easy to lose the distinction between defending one thing and defending everything, and maybe defending it isn't even quite the word. So basically, I've been trying to think how to word this without getting canceled or causing an uproar. And I think what I want to start with is a little bit disclaimer, which is that I definitely don't believe in telling other people how to feel, and I don't believe in telling people that their feelings are invalid. And so I know that a lot of people, including a lot of people who I like and respect, have a lot of really intense feelings about the Dodgers signing Trevor Bauer. And I'm not going to try to tell you that you're wrong. What I do want to explain is a little bit of my thought process on it. And a lot of it comes down to, my overarching philosophy in life, and especially on social media, is give people the benefit of the doubt, assume positive intent, don't jump straight to the most negative conclusion, even if it's somebody who you don't have a high opinion of. I believe in giving people the benefit of the doubt until they've absolutely proven they don't deserve it. And at that point, what I do is I just, if it's social media, I block them. So I never, if they've reached the point where I can't give them benefit of the doubt, I endeavor to never encounter their opinions again. But until then, I give people the benefit of the doubt. And that includes Trevor Bauer. And I think that a lot of people don't give Trevor Bauer the benefit of the doubt because they have preconceived notions about him based on, I think it started when it came out that he was a Donald Trump supporter. And I'm not going to talk about politics here, about specifics, except to say that you can disagree with someone. You can even be 1,000% sure that somebody's political views are wrong. But when you cross over to being sure that that person is evil, that's where I think a lot of people make that jump way too easily these days. And so the fact that Trevor Bauer was apparently a Donald Trump supporter, a lot of people think anybody who supported Donald Trump is automatically, hates minorities, hates poor people, whatever. And then on the other side, people think, Trump supporters think every liberal is a baby killer. And, there's all those stereotypes on both sides, when in actuality, most of us of all different political views are just people trying to do our best, and we have different life experiences. And Trevor Bauer has explained the reason that he basically leans conservative, didn't like Barack Obama, was because he felt like Obama's policies put his dad's company out of business. That's Trevor Bauer's life experience. Again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not saying it's even well thought out. I'm saying there's no reason to think that just because of what presidential candidate he supported, he is an evil person. So then you fast forward, and the biggest incident was the one with the college student Alex Bregman fan who Bauer went back and forth with, and Deadspin wrote an article. And Deadspin, you have to take everything from Deadspin with a grain of salt. Remember that they, while their tagline is sports news without fear, favor, or compromise, one thing they don't throw in there is without bias, and they maybe need to put the word news in air quotes. I'm just going to read the first part of the article. The headline is, Trevor Bauer has been harassing a woman for more than a day now. This was from January of 2019. And the first sentence of that article is, science boy, drone enthusiast, and big dumb a-hole Trevor Bauer likes to be a spicy weirdo on Twitter, where he's prone to holding forth about racism and anti-Trump bias and blocking people who criticize him. Now, regardless of what you think about Trevor Bauer, I think we can all agree that that is not the introduction of an unbiased article. And so then it goes on to detail the exchange between Bauer and this college student, so I think 19 or 20 years old at the time. And Bauer had criticized Alex Bregman, and she tweeted at him and said, my new least favorite person in all of sports. And Bauer clapped back, welcome to the fan club, with a blowing kiss emoji. And she shot back. And so, she wanted to be involved in this argument with a professional athlete. And Trevor Bauer acted immaturely, for sure. He should have done what most big league players do, which is ignore those people. Or, the one tweet, welcome to the club with a blow kiss emoji. Great response. We saw something from Andrew McCutchen just tonight during the Super Bowl when Andrew McCutchen had tweeted a picture of him playing football in high school, and somebody responded to him saying, yeah, but you blew out your knee rounding first base. And, just an a-hole thing to tweet at a professional athlete. And McCutchen responded with one tweet and said, but I could still beat you in a race running on one leg. Great response, and then it's over. Trevor Bauer should have stopped after the one tweet, obviously. But he didn't. He went back and forth. He dug up some tweets showing evidence that this girl had been drinking alcohol before the legal age limit, et cetera. Tweeted at her a few times, including quote tweeting her. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. Then she responded the next day and said, you've been harassing me for 24 hours. You've tagged me in 40 tweets now. Now you've tagged me in 80 tweets. I'm getting creeped out. And this Deadspin article just takes that at face value. Trevor Bauer has tagged this young woman in 80 tweets in the last 24 hours, even though the actual explanation is right there in a Trevor Bauer tweet in the article, when he says, I'm just responding to the tweets that are sent to me. Someone asked me questions and I responded, learn how Twitter works. Look, I know Trevor Bauer can be a jerk sometimes, but that tweet is absolutely correct. There were other people who were responding to him. He was hitting reply. And as we all know on Twitter, when you hit reply, it replies to everybody on the thread. And she was mad that he didn't go in and uncheck her name when he was hitting reply so that it wouldn't go to her. When she started this conversation, she thought that it should have been his responsibility to remove her from the conversation. She said, learn how to remove someone from a conversation, which, you know, we could argue about Twitter etiquette and whether that's a job. Obviously, he would be better served letting things go, but it's very intellectually dishonest to frame it as Trevor Bauer has tagged this poor girl in 80 tweets in the last 24 hours. It's also not fair to blame Trevor Bauer for the way his followers responded, because apparently a lot of them did take it way too far and threatened her and told her to kill herself and stuff. And, you know, Trevor Bauer, to his credit, he did basically apologize for that. He didn't say the words, I'm sorry, but he said, I never intended for my followers to be a jerk to this girl. And he said, I pledge to wield my power more responsibly in the future, something along those lines. And the fact is, he has. It's been 2 years, and there hasn't been another incident like that. And so it's a long-winded way of saying this whole incident basically was confirmation bias, reaffirmed to some people that Trevor Bauer is a misogynist, because if somebody you don't like criticizes a woman, obviously they're only doing it because they're a woman. If somebody you don't like criticizes a black president, it's only because he's a racist. You know, everything on social media these days is confirmation bias. And if we could all step back and take the approach of give the benefit of the doubt, these are isolated things where Trevor Bauer obviously has acted immaturely at times, has even acknowledged that and pledged to do better. And from what I can tell, has probably done better. He still tweets things that I wouldn't tweet, tweets things that if I was his father, I would pull him aside and say, Hey Trev, let's work on this a little bit. But at the end of the day, you know, people saying I can't believe the team of Jackie Robinson and Sandy Koufax has signed an anti-Semitic racist, and the team partially owned by Billie Jean King now has a misogynist. And my thought is, well, maybe Billie Jean King understands that some people, including her, have had to go through actual trials and challenges, not just somebody being rude to them on Twitter. I feel like it's a disservice to Billie Jean King and what she went through as a woman, as an LGBTQ member, to put on par the things she went through and Trevor Bauer being rude to somebody on Twitter. Like, let's get some perspective, people. And again, like I said, I that probably violates my rule. I said, I'm not going to tell you how to feel, and I'm not. But for me, that's my perspective, that a lot of people have been through a lot worse things. Do I wish Trevor Bauer acted differently? Yeah, but I'm not too worried about him as a person, because I don't think he's evil. I think he's immature. I think he often knows that he's smarter than the person he's arguing with. And sometimes smart people, if they get the smarts before they get the wisdom, they feel a need to prove that. And Trevor Bauer is extremely intelligent and not super wise sometimes, and that comes out on social media, but I don't believe that he's evil.
I mean, evil, I don't think that. Some of the things you said are true. You know, that I don't remember there being an incident since at least 2018, maybe before that. Most of the things that have come up have been before that, which I'm not saying is an excuse for him, but we've seen other players with bad tweets in the past, and some of them are probably laced in ignorance, some of them are based in immaturity, some of them may be based in more than that, but we're not entirely sure, and you kind of have to, like I said, give benefit of the doubt in some cases. When it comes to the political side, you know, at least for me on my side, I will say that, you know, voting Republican and voting Trump were a little bit two different things for me, or, you know, outwardly supporting Trump, I guess, more so than voting for him. A lot of people that you probably talk to or maybe idolize in sports probably voted on that side sometimes, at least the first time. So there's just a lot going on with Bauer. But from what I know, or the one time I did tweet out that I don't think he did anything that, you know, kind of put it over the top for me for the Dodgers not to sign him, the things that were sent my way were from four years ago. So hopefully he's either a changed person, at the very least, more mature on social media and, you know, not doing the things he's been doing. But yeah, I'm not going to tell people how to react to it. Everyone's going to react different. You know, I've seen people bring up the word boycott. I've seen people say they're, you know, they don't want to watch or it's ruined the offseason for them. That's everyone's entitled to how they want to feel. But at the end of the day, like we said on Friday's emergency episode, is that the team on the field got better. And hopefully, and we would imagine that we haven't had the press conference yet because it hasn't been formally announced. But there will be questions to Friedman and or Bauer when that comes up. I'm sure some will say, you know, did you consult the team on Friedman's side? I'm sure some with Bauer may bring up some of these past things or previous things he's did on social media. So we may get a little bit more clear answers. But as of right now, we don't. And it's just a matter of how you want to approach it and go about it.
On the baseball side, I texted Ross Stripling after the signing the other day. And I asked him, basically, I asked, is Trevor Bauer a threat to the clubhouse chemistry? Stripling, he knows Bauer. He's had him on his podcast. And so I asked him straight up. I said, is Trevor Bauer a threat to the Dodgers clubhouse chemistry? And I'm going to read you exactly what Ross replied to me. He said, Trevor is the smartest pitcher I've ever talked to. He is completely self-made and works his tail off to be the best. I would say very obsessive compulsive about the way the body works and perfecting everything he can. He was talking about tunneling and spin rate and other stuff years before driveline and other people caught on. I've always had a blast talking to him because you learn something and it's entertaining whether you believe it or not. He is not a locker room liability. Between him and Walker Buehler, every pitcher in that organization is going to get a lot better. And so from a baseball standpoint, and that's what we've seen. Trevor Bauer is more committed to improvement than any pitcher I've ever seen. He spends his off seasons just trying to invent new pitches, just to learn what happens if I hold the ball like this and throw it like this, what does it do? You know, I'm actually going to talk a little bit more about that on tomorrow's episode. I had an interview this weekend with a college professor who studies the biomechanics of, or, and the, yeah, whatever of pitching and aerodynamics. That's the word, the aerodynamics of baseballs and stuff. And we talked a little about Trevor Bauer. So that'll be tomorrow's episode, but he is fully committed to being as good as he can be on the field. And I am willing to give him the benefit of the doubt at this point for the off-field stuff that, you know, hopefully anything that he does need a good influence, he'll get that from Kershaw and Mookie and JT and others. And otherwise, you know, I'm fine with him not having the same politics as me. I'm fine with him not having the same personality as me because I think I saw somebody compare him to Milton Bradley. Milton Bradley literally beat up a woman and went to jail for it. There's a difference. I know that it's trendy to think that words are violence. Words are not violence, especially when the words are just things we disagree with. So that's my Trevor Bauer rant.
We'll have more, like I said, once we the deal's confirmed and we get interviews, and I'm sure the questions will come. So we'll see. But until then, I'm sure the discourse on Twitter will still be whatever it was before. Is there anything else you have to say? Nothing really else happened over the weekend, but anything else you have to add?
No, I just want to reiterate one last time that I know that a lot of people I like and respect feel differently about this than I do. And I respect all of your rights to feel that way. And I don't think any less of you. And I hope you don't think any less of me for the way I feel.
All right. That's going to do it for today's episode. We will be back, or one of us will be back each and every other day. We're going to probably do that the rest of this week, unless some more news happens or we do get the official signing and press conference. But either way, you'll get one of us every day this week. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers if you haven't already done so. Make sure to listen. No, we're not going to do it this week, but make sure you start listening every day. You're going to want to start listening every day. We'll have something in the works that encourages you to listen every day. So you might as well start doing it now. Make sure to tell your friends and family. Make sure to tell other Dodger fans in your life. Season is coming up, so you should start getting your Dodger fix. Football is over. Basketball is in kind of the, you know, the not boring months, but just the middle of the months, and baseball's the only one for you coming up. So you might as well get the Dodgers fix out of the way. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Take your smart device to play podcasts, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!